Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Cole Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Wherever you find your podcast, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Wolves podcast and the Locked On NBA podcast. It's a great way to get coverage of all the basketball from around the NBA. Make sure you're up to date with the league you love to watch so much. Today, we're going to be talking about the Western Conference, what is going on with the Western Conference this year, kind of our diagnosis of the Western Conference in comparison to last year, how the how teams like the Timberwolves stack up to everyone in the Western Conference, and I couldn't think of anyone better to bring in to talk about the Western Conference than Aliqua Carter, who has done so much work covering the Golden State Warriors of Western Conference and has done some great work joining me on this podcast, has been a great guest in seasons past over the summer, and it's good to have him back on. Aliqua, thank you so much for joining the show again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Colton.
Of course, of course. So today I just wanted to cover, first of all, your thoughts on the Western Conference, the new teams in the playoff run, and what this playoff race is going to look like a few months from now, and where the Timberwolves fit into all of that. But first, let's get into what this conference looks like. There's been some major swings from last year to this year. I think the biggest surprise is are for me at least, Dallas, the Clippers, Memphis, and honestly Denver. I know that the Denver Nuggets are bringing back mostly the same team. They are one of the teams that have brought back pretty much the exact same roster, but I've been surprised by Denver. Who have been the surprises for you and why?
Certainly the Mavericks. I never thought that Luka Doncic would be this good this fast. And I have a special relationship with him because he's on my fantasy team. Doncic, your pants. And, you know, that's just seeing him play night in and night out with the confidence that he has and just the vision, the size. You know, I just never thought he'd be that good that fast. He's going to win that Roy pretty easily, as it seems, you know, a quarter of the time through the season. The Grizzlies are definitely surprising. You know, the grit and grind era is over. You feel like maybe Mike Conley is incredibly overplayed, but then when you see overpaid, but then when you see him play, you're like, oh, this guy can still ball. He's still extremely good at basketball. And him and Marc Gasol have this kind of chemistry that you don't really see with a lot of the teams, you know. And then I want to say the Rockets are a surprise as well. Just they're not good, especially defensively, and their chemistry is gone. Just completely gone. That magical season last year is such a distant memory. So those are my three surprises. And then just the fourth surprise around the Western Conference is just the parity. The key word is parity. Nobody ever thought that 14 teams would be in the hunt for the playoffs in any conference. But the Western Conference would be the one that it would be. But who knows how any of this is going to shake out. It looks like the Wolves are just, they're right there. You know, they're right there, 13-14, with a bunch of teams at and around 500. But it's going to take 600 basketball probably to make the playoffs in the Western Conference this year. And that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And that's probably the biggest surprise this season is you thought it was going to be tough because you really thought going into the season there was probably like 10, 11 teams that could legitimately make a push for the playoffs in the Western Conference. And now that we're in the season, it kind of feels like it is 14 teams that legitimately have a chance to make the playoffs. I wanted to talk about the rookies a second in the Western Conference, but first, of these teams, you're looking at the playoff picture. Of these teams, just in general, you have, and I'm not talking about just the teams in the playoff picture right now, but teams like Sacramento, who are maybe playing over their head, or teams like Utah, Houston, who are playing or underachieving. which teams are going to have a regression to where we thought they should be? Which teams is it going to be like a Houston or Utah that are going to regress back up to where we anticipate their talent should be at or properly rated? Or is it going to be like a team like Memphis or Dallas that is going to regress back to where we think they are as far as not really a playoff team and they're kind of overachieving right now? Which teams are most likely to regress and in which directions in your mind?
Oh, this is tough for me because I already have feelings about the Clippers, but you just heard Lou Williams going to be out 1 to 2 weeks. That's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
He's the closer. He's the kind of the engine, you know, without him on the floor, they don't have as easy a job scoring. He spreads the floor. He commands, the defense to collapse when he drives. His free throw, numbers are just off the charts for a guy who really isn't going to be an all-star this year. That is absolutely integral to what the Clippers are doing. So I think that over the next few weeks, they're going to kind of fall down from their perch a little bit at 17 and 10. Nobody thought they would be at 17 and 10 at this stage of the season. I also think that I don't want this to happen to the Kings. I want the Kings to be a feel-good story of the year. I really do. I think that I think Dave Yeager is a good coach, and I happen to love Fox's. In his young career, playing extremely confident basketball, he seems to have a good relationship with his coach. As for the Nuggets, you brought up the Nuggets. I don't see them regressing. But I do see them being a difficult, this would be like the first time that they've really made noise. And then when you get to the playoffs, you've got to perform. And Jokic has been up and down in his career. And even this year, that stretch of period where he wasn't scoring the ball at all. And then you've got all these triple doubles and everything like that. So like which Jokic is going to show up when the time comes. And so that's something I think about a lot, but definitely looking for the Clippers to regress a little bit, the Kings possibly. And we'll see about the Nuggets.
I love that you didn't talk about the Rockets at all there. I just love that there is so much doubt around the Rockets. And just because of this whole depth problem. I mean, they're bringing back guys like James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capela. These are really good players. And they're still struggling because their defense, and it's not their offense really. Their defense is predicated on having so much depth and being able to trust like seven different guys that you can switch players onto, because they switch more than any other defense in the NBA. And just not having, because here's the thing, is that you can say that Trevor Ariza and Luke Mamba Mute would make this team better, and maybe they would. But Luke is only.
I'm so sick of hearing that. You know, it's just like they're role players. You know, like I get it. They're very good at the defensive scheme that was drawn up for them by Mike D'Antoni. But I mean, let's be honest. Role players switch teams every single year.
Exactly. Luke's played, I think, 4 games for the Clippers this year, and Trevor Ariza hasn't been exactly burning down the world in Phoenix. The problem isn't that they traded those guys away. The problem is that they added an injured Brandon Knight and a broken Marquise Chris. Like, if they had been smart at
not forget Michael Carter Williams.
What a forgettable player. it's not that they shouldn't let those guys go. It's that they weren't smarter in the offseason or at the trade deadline. Like if I was talking about this with somebody, a radio host here in Minnesota, if they make the trade that the Timberwolves make for Dario Saric and Robert Covington, then they're probably the best team in the Western Conference. Because they didn't need to keep everybody they had last year. They just need to get really good swingmen and really good wing guys to add depth to their roster, and guys who could just play hard on defense, guys who just give a lot of effort on defense. And instead, they added a guy in Carmelo Anthony in the offseason who gives absolutely no effort on defense.
Swing and a miss.
And it's crazy how you can go from 65 wins and then some just weird decisions drop you and affect you this much. But when you're dependent on everybody to just give a ton of effort on defense because you're switching so much, that's the simple moves like that is all it can take to derail what you have as a team. And it's crazy that if they make a couple different moves or go out and grab a couple different guys, this is totally different. But I do think even if they just have Dario Saric instead of Michael Carter Williams on this team, it's a totally different team.
Absolutely. Saric can shoot. Saric can play bigger guys. He's long and he tries. You know, Michael Carter Williams has been in the league, 6 years? He still can't produce a decent three-point shot. He still seems helter-skelter. His defense is up and down. He likes to cheat defensively, and that leads to defensive breakdowns behind him. And it's tough to watch the Rockets kind of fall apart as they have over the last few months. But they still have the MVP. James Harden, who is leading the league in three-pointers made. His efficiency numbers are way down, but he's still a formidable player. We'll see, you know, how Chris Paul's continued decline affects the team. But come playoff time, if they make the playoffs, and that's a big if at this point, but if they make the playoffs, they're still going to be a tough out.
Yeah, exactly. You never can doubt a team with James Harden on it, but it is an interesting situation in Houston. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get back into this Western Conference conversation. Talking here with Aliko Carter about the Western Conference. We've been kind of talking about the teams that are overachieving, maybe the teams that are underachieving, and if they're going to find themselves again. I want to talk about rookies as well, though, because this, especially in the Western Conference, has been a really fascinating class. And I think, obviously, guys like DeAndre Ayton are really fun to watch night and night out. They're putting up the stats. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been super crucial for the Memphis Grizzlies and have been playing really well. Luka Doncic, obviously, for Dallas. I don't think Dallas is winning this many games without Luka. And he's been not only a good player, but a really fun player to watch. I would put up there, though, in the Western Conference, just as far as impact players on teams. Am I getting too ahead of my skis? Josh Okogie has been somebody I would put up there, you know, because he has been so impactful, not only on the defense when he has played, but also on the transition offense for this Wolves team.
No, I agree. I agree with you completely. Okogie is a big surprise. And, coming from Nigeria, you know, he's got that international element as well, which I always love to see international players come in and playing in places like Minnesota and thriving, you know, because it's just got to be a different experience than everything he's used to. But he's fit right in. And the depth that y'all have in Minnesota now is really on display.
It is. And I think my biggest problem right now with the Timberwolves is that they're not playing him enough since the they got Rocco and Dario Saric in the building. They have not been giving him enough minutes. And I know that it's tough to try and work this out. And
so tough. Yeah, I mean, Saric is playing, what, like 20, 22 minutes a game?
Yeah, and I know because there was he didn't play this last night, but for most of the games that Rocco has been in, he's played like 34, 35 minutes, I believe, is his average right now for the Timberwolves. And so I realize that they're playing him in a lot of different lineups to try and see how to maximize his efficiency, and they're still trying to figure out the best ways to play Dario Saric. But you've got to, if you have to take a minutes away from like Teague or like I was talking in last night's game, why does Josh Okogie play 2 minutes against the Warriors and who is a Gorgie, plays 13 minutes. It's like, I really think that he needs to play at least 10, 11 minutes a game. Try and find those minutes for him somewhere, because when, especially when he's out on the floor with Robert Covington and Derrick Rose, the way he picks up the offense and moves the pace and makes the offense really, really fast and flips the floor on a defense quickly is not only really fun to watch, it also really opens up the floor for the Timberwolves. And I think that his contribution is crucial.
Yeah, but has that ever been Tibbs in MO, you know, to play rookies that heavy minutes-wise? It just seems like something that would be out of character for him. Especially as the team tries to make the playoffs. But I do understand what you're saying. The metrics, they don't lie. And Okogie is playing absolutely stellar basketball as a rookie.
He is only getting 19.4. I mean, his minutes per game just keep dropping the longer that this goes on. But he's averaging 7.1 points per game. And he is averaging about... he's averaging 0.3 steals per game and or 0.3 blocks per game, excuse me, and 0.8 steals per game. So he's almost at a steal per game for a rookie. I think that's pretty solid. And for a while there, when he was getting starts, when Jimmy Butler was not showing up to games, or when he was playing heavier minutes, he was actually averaging just over a steal per game. So you know that there's that defensive prowess there for him, and he's just so athletic and so athletically gifted. And he is one of my guys, actually, and I wanted to get your take on this as well, because I'm wondering which rookie is going to make the biggest impact and make the biggest kind of deciding factor in whether a team is going to be successful in the Western Conference or not, as far as rookies. And up there with Luka Doncic and Jaren Jackson, I think Josh Okogie is kind of the key for this Timberwolves team and kind of the last piece for this Timberwolves team. And he might end up, if you can figure out a lineup that really maximizes the efficiency of, like, Derrick Rose, Towns, Rocco, and Josh Okogie, maybe Wiggins out there too. I think a lineup like that is really, really dangerous, and I think him kind of finding his stride and playing more minutes because he's finding his stride is maybe a key for the Timberwolves. Maybe I'm getting too ambitious.
No. I mean, like, it's the new NBA, right? You've got to have long guys who can play multiple positions, who can defend multiple positions, and you've got to have at least three or four of those guys on the floor. They have to be able to shoot, and they have to be able to Okogie is not exactly lighting it up from three, but that can be improved, you know. But you got to be able to defend multiple positions. Okogie can do that when he's out there with Towns and Wiggins. He can be kind of a stabilizer, you know, and defensively especially, and that's incredibly important. I think that you definitely have a point. Obviously, Okogie's not starting. Doncic is going to be most likely the rookie of the year. He's probably going to run away with it. Mm-hmm. He isn't necessarily glue, you know.
Yeah.
And Okogie could be the glue that really holds the defense, but also the offense together for Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, I was talking with some guys who cover the Timberwolves over Summer League, and they were noting that Okogie just did so much at Georgia Tech, just literally everything for a team that wasn't very good around him. And now that he's in Minnesota, when you have a bunch of really talented guys, he doesn't have to do everything, and he can kind of hone his game in to certain things. And so I think because that's the situation in Minnesota, I think he will become a better three-point shooter just because he has to work. Like, but in Georgia Tech, he had to do everything. Now in Minnesota, you just want him to create turnovers and play sound defense, play fast on offense, and knock down some threes. Like, he has to do like four different things. And so I think that he can really lock in on three-point shooting, and I think that will come as the season progresses. He just needs the chance now. He just needs the chance to get a few more game reps and get some more experience under his belt. And he's so crucial too for this Timberwolves team, because when he's out there disrupting and making plays and making turnovers, that's really the defense for the Timberwolves, because they don't have enough guys who can just man-to-man spot up beat you on defense. They have to win the turnover battle. They have to get a lot of turnovers and get points off of turnovers to be successful. And so having him out there is so crucial, because that's kind of the only way their defense works. They're not just going to stop you at the three-point line because of their man-up defense. They just don't have the guys for it to be successful.
Certainly. You know, can we talk about Derrick Rose if we're going to continue talking about the Wolves? Because this guy has me just confused in the most incredible way. I love seeing Derrick Rose's resurgence. And like, the dude is shooting, what, 48% from three? How's that even possible? And scoring 18.5 points. I'm really happy for him. I'm happy for the Wolves. But what are your thoughts on Rose so far this year?
And doing it uber efficiently too, by the way. He's shooting like 49% from the field, 48% from three. And it's got me excited. I was talking with a buddy who works at ABC5 here in Minneapolis. This is all I do, by the way, is talk with people about basketball. Nobody wants to hang out with me if they don't want to talk about basketball, pretty much.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
But I was talking with him, and I was saying it feels like 2007 Derrick Rose. And he's like, you mean 2011 Derrick Rose when he won the MVP? And I was like, no, 2007 Derrick Rose when he was Mr. Illinois, and everybody was kind of realizing who he was. It feels like a new man. It feels like a new guy that you're kind of finding for the first time, because of all the stuff that's happened over the last couple of years and the way he looked over the last couple of years with Cleveland and with the Knicks and all the stuff that was going off the court. To hear guys talk about his leadership off the court in the locker room, to hear guys talk about his work ethic, talk about just him being kind of the guide for this team, as opposed to somebody who isn't showing up to games or is a distraction or is an uber inefficient player when he's on the court. The total reversal from what he was on the Knicks and the Cavaliers to what he is now on the Timberwolves, it really does feel like we're finding a new player and really discovering a new player for the first time this year. And it's awesome, because I genuinely loved watching Derrick Rose when he was really good and when he was an MVP-level player. And I'm enjoying watching him hit that level again, but doing it more efficiently this time around.
Yeah, I can't believe that 3-point number. I just absolutely can't believe it. Go ahead.
He is the only player in the top 10 scoring wise among point guards that's averaging less than 30 minutes a game.
Wow. That's a stat.
Yeah,
that's an absolute stat right there. Man,
it's my favorite stat, because my biggest knock on him joining the Timberwolves was that he was going to be an inefficient piece alongside Wiggins and Towns. And it's just not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. He almost made Jimmy Butler expendable, you know, with that whole drama. Like, how are you going to get scoring? Obviously, Towns and Wiggins are going to score the ball, but who's going to be that third guy? And clearly, Derrick Rose is filling that with aplomb. He's just balling out right now.
Exactly. And he is one of the better, I think he's the best sixth man in the Western Conference, and one of the better point guards right now in the Western Conference.
I would love to see him win sixth man of the year. That would be an absolute vindication of his entire career, going from MVP to, you know, messing up his knees, coming back, having all those personal problems, and then finally really making a stamp on a different team. Winning Sixth Man of the Year would be huge for him, huge for y'all.
And I love that that's his goal. You know, I love that that's what he's trying to do. And he said multiple times, I'm trying to be whatever this team needs me to be. I just want to be a sixth man coming off the bench, really energizing that second unit, really being a guy who can help from the bench. I really love that he is all in on his role and that these are his goals, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see that kind of commitment from a player who's had injuries like that. It gives inspiration to the rest of the team.
Exactly. We're going to get to our second break here, and then we're going to close out this conversation. First, a break for some sponsors. So we've talked about who surprised us in the Western Conference. We've talked about rookies, had some lovely conversation about Derrick Rose. We're going to wrap it up here. What do you think what do you think the Western Conference is going to look like? Is this kind of the standard for the Western Conference where it is right now, or are we going to see some big changes, some shifts? And where do the Timberwolves fall into all of this at 13-14 right now? We're projecting forward, where do you see this going for the Timberwolves and for the Western Conference?
Well, there's just so much talent in the league, Colton, right now. It's just absolutely mind-blowing to me because you can look at each team and you say, oh, superstars, stars, they're going to get you into the playoffs. Well, you look at the Pelicans, and they're 14-15. They've got one of the top five best players in the league and a lot of depth, and they're struggling. And obviously, AD is having some injury issues right now. You've got the Jazz with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, incredible players. They're underachieving at 13-15. Oh, and of course, there's Joe Ingles, their third star. You've got the Rockets struggling with Chris Paul and James Harden. And then you've got other teams that are kind of starless. You've got the Clippers, the Nuggets to a certain extent, though Jokic is going to make the All-Star team, and the Grizzlies, who probably won't have an All-Star this year, who are making noise and having their way with a lot of other teams. So it's really hard to tell. The Wolves have talent. They have depth. They have the ability to do it. The question is, will that and obviously, since the Butler trade, y'all have been on fire. You know, there have been some really fantastic games. Your defense has actually gotten better, and the net rating has increased. So, if the momentum continues, then I definitely could see you see the Wolves eking into that top eight. Obviously, at the top of the league, who really is going to know? Besides, I got to make my Dubs plug. I think the Dubs are going to hit the number one seed.
That's a hot take.
Other than that, I mean, are the Lakers going to continue 17-10? They're at 6-3-0 right now. Are they going to continue on that tear? It's looking like LeBron is just that good. It's looking like he can just take his talents anywhere and get a top four seed. And that's scary. That's very scary. But I couldn't honestly tell you, I'm going to go ahead and knock the Kings out of the top eight. It'd be a shame if Spurs missed for the first time in, a very long time. But I think that the Wolves will be able to get in there. Maybe the Grizzlies will fall. It's tough. It's going to go down to the wire. It's going to go absolutely down to the wire the last day of the season. And that's what basketball is all about. That's what's so exciting. And, you have this league where more than half of the teams in the conference make the playoffs, and sometimes that can be anticlimactic, especially in the East where you've got players and teams, teams coming in below 500 making the playoffs. But in the West, this is absolutely a gauntlet. It's extremely exciting. And, predictions are almost useless. What's the point of making a prediction when we know it's going to go down to the last game of the season?
Yeah, I as far as regression, I feel like Memphis and Dallas are probably the teams primed for it. I just can't doubt LeBron. He's been in the finals for so much of my adult life that it's hard for me to see him missing the playoffs. And it's hard for me to doubt him. As far as teams look on the outside looking in, I think that Minnesota and Houston are actually the two teams that are best set up now to make that run and get into the playoffs here in kind of the second half of the season. Just because Houston, if you can get Chris Paul fully healthy here for the rest of the season, get him and James Harden and Clint Capella and Eric Gordon on the same page and bludgeon some teams offensively and then figure out some things defensively. D'Antoni's just too smart for him not to figure out what to do defensively with this team and what to do with these pieces. And for the Minnesota Timberwolves, they have closed out games extremely well this year. I mean, they have been really good. You saw them against Charlotte and Houston, two games that really impressed me as far as how they played in the fourth quarter, how they closed out games. But they've just been a better second half team in general this year, and they've been so much better at closing out games, especially since the Jimmy Butler trade with Rocco and Sarge on the team now. And so it's hard for me to see this team missing the playoffs just with the talent they have and with the way they're playing disciplined basketball to close out a lot of these games. I know they just lost to the to the Warriors, but it was only by 8 points, and they really hung with them most of that game. And so I just think that they have the talent, and now they're set up to be a little more disciplined of a basketball team to make a run for it. I'm far more skeptical of the Pelicans and the Spurs than I am of the Timberwolves and the Rockets. And so with anticipation of some teams falling back to maybe the mean that we expect from them, I really like the Timberwolves and the Rockets, how they're set up to kind of jump into those spots. I wanted to ask you before we head out here, interesting stat. Last year, there were four teams in the Western Conference with a pace rating over 100. This year, there's only four teams in the Western Conference with a pace rating of under 100. With the faster pace of basketball, which team in the Western Conference is kind of set up in the last leg of the season to take advantage of that higher pace, who is not the Warriors?
Well, it's got to be depth. You got to be looking at depth, right? So the deepest teams, in this conference, you know, the Timberwolves are certainly one of the more deep teams, and that's really when you know when you're in the dog days of the season, you're running. You've got to look at depth. You've got to look at keeping your guys fresh. And that is, and you say not the Warriors, that's making my answer a lot harder, you know?
Well, I think that's what makes the Clippers and the Timberwolves such interesting teams as well, is that they have that depth.
Exactly. And I've been loving what I've been seeing from Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris is not too far off from making an all-star team one day. And he's really taking the onus on himself to be a scorer and to do things on the other side of the ball as well. I like what the Clippers are doing. I don't think that they can keep this up without, unless Tobias is really going to be that guy and Montrezl Harrell continues to be a berserker and Lou Williams comes back healthy. You know, I don't see them continuing on this pace. They could and should make the playoffs with their depth. I think I'm pretty bullish on the Mavericks. Honestly, I don't think that they're going to fall out of the top eight. I don't want to see them fall out of the top eight. And they've got a nice deep team as well. But this running is just so exciting to watch. Just seeing teams really embrace it. And you've got the Lakers playing at one of the highest paces in the league. The Bucks, obviously, we're talking about the Western Conference. The Bucks playing at an incredibly high pace, leading the league. But in LeBron's 16th year, you're seeing him play at the fastest pace essentially he's ever played. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be a question. Like, are they going to and he's playing fewer minutes than he's ever played. I think he's averaging 34 minutes a game.
Yeah, which is good.
Which, you know, is a lot. But not, you know, an excessive amount, 38, 39 minutes a game. But the question is, will he be able to hold up? Will he have to take a break? Or will the Lakers just continue to do what they're doing, which is winning games? They're 7-3 in their last 10.
Well, there you go. It's going to be a race right down to the end, and it's going to be a race that's led by pace, I feel like, going down to kind of the end of the Western Conference season, deciding who is getting in and getting out. Fun to look at.
I didn't even mention the Trailblazers. Oh, my God. I love watching the Trailblazers play basketball. I think that defensively they have a little bit of work to do, but – oh man!
Gosh, there's a lot of good teams.
I'd be very sad.
Gosh, there's a lot of good teams. Wow. That just goes to show how deep the Western Conference is. We didn't talk about OKC either too much, who's leading the conference right now at 17-8. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be fun to see which teams rise, which teams fall with the rest of the season. But obviously, Aliko and I both think that for a lot of these teams that aren't named Golden State, depth and the speed they play at is going to be a big factor with how they finish out the season. Hopefully that combination is a winning one for the Timberwolves, because I feel like they have both those factors. Aliko, thank you so much for joining the show. Always fun to have you on. Always fun to hear your take on basketball, talk some hoops with you. And thank you so much to the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On